Thank you, Jason, for leading us in singing. You do an excellent job, and we thank God for you. It's good to see this good number represented here this afternoon. We're thankful for each and everyone who's come to be with us. Remind you that our appeal is to the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15, and thus we invite your attention to the book of truth, the Bible, God's Word. I encourage you to jot down whatever you might like to, that you might have this information for your further study. On Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, we're involved in a survey of the Old Testament. We've just completed the book of 2 Chronicles, taking us through the united period to the period of the divided kingdom into what's called the period of exile. And Lord willing, Wednesday night, as we survey the book of Ezra, we'll be taken into the period of return and restoration, an exciting time as the Lord's people go back home to rebuild. And we read of the rededication of the people. This afternoon, I want to talk to us about one of the outstanding kings during the period of the divided kingdom, a young man by the name of Josiah. If you're interested in learning about this king, you might think where you'd go to find out about him. One place you read about him is in the book of 2 Kings, chapters 22 and 23. But don't limit yourself to that information, because you need to also read the harmony of 2 Chronicles, chapters 34 and 35. And so in 2 Kings 22 and 23, in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, you'll read everything that you need to know about this king and his reign. And there's some other passages that we might mention along the way. But as a beginning point, I remind you of the statement made about Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and in verse 26, where the scripture makes reference to Josiah and his goodness. You might like to underscore that in your Bible. Josiah and his goodness. There's not very many kings in the annals of sacred history concerning whom it is said, and his goodness. All of the kings of Israel were evil, you recall, and some of the kings of Judah were good and some wicked. And among those that are good, Josiah is one of the tops, isn't he? As you think about his goodness. He began to reign at an early age, 8 years old. Can you fathom that? Ascending to the throne of the Lord's people at the age of 8. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And you have a summary of him in 2 Kings 22 and verse 2, which says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left." If that's all that was said about him, that'd be quite a bit, wouldn't it? And wouldn't it be great if it could be said of you and of I? "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left." That can't be said of most people, unfortunately. But can it be said of us? There are several things I want to call your attention to as you think about Josiah and his goodness. The first thing I suggest to you is the fact that Josiah sought after God while he was yet young. I take us to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and in verse 3. The Bible says, "For in the 8th year of his reign," now remember, he was 8 years old when he began to reign, verse 1. And so he'd be 16 years old at this time. What's the Bible say about him? At the age of 16, "While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father." And so I suggest to you that Josiah is a man who sought after God while he was yet young. You know, sometimes there are folks who want to wait till they're old to seek after God. You may not be able to do that. Because, as the wise man said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Life is so uncertain and can be snuffed out at any point. And so you may not be able to do that. So don't wait until you're older to seek after God. The wise man Solomon urged in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 1, remember. Remember when? Now. Remember who? Thy Creator. Remember when? In the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's talking about the difficult days of advanced age. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. That's expressing the concept of one affliction after another. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the hands are not as steady as they once were. The strong men shall bow themselves, perhaps not able to stand as erect as you once could. Grinders cease because they're few. That's the reference to the teeth. Those that look out of the windows be darkened. The eyes are dim. Can't see as well. The doors should be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Can't hear as well. Rise at the voice of the bird. The daughters of music shall be brought low. Vocal cords aren't as strong, are they? And when they shall be afraid of that which is high. There may be a time when you can climb the highest scaffolding. You might go up in the Sears Tower or the CN Tower in Ontario, Toronto, and walk across that glass floor. Maybe a little more difficult down the road. I wasn't able to do it. Fear shall be in the way. The almond tree shall flourish. That's a reference to the hair turning white. Sometimes that happens prematurely, doesn't it? The grasshopper shall be a burden. The smallest task, what seems perhaps to some to be small and easy, becomes a burden. It becomes more difficult. Just coming to an assembly like this is difficult. And I know that there's some that they could do other things, but choose not to save up their strength so as to be able to assemble with the Lord's people on the Lord's day. Desire shall fail because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. There's your funeral procession. As you think about going the way of all the earth, don't wait until the difficult days of advanced years to start thinking about God and your responsibilities to God and seeking after God. The wise man says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Josiah is an example of that, isn't he? He sought after God while he was yet young. And there's lots of advantages to that. You avoid a lot of hardness. As the way of transgressors is hard. You've got more time to commit things to mind and to memory. While your mind is young and impressionable, you can fill it with good things. By taking heed according to the word, as the psalmist answered the question, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Hiding the word in your heart at an early age will help safeguard you against sin. As the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so, think about Josiah. That while he was yet young, he sought after God. Secondly, I suggest to you that his goodness included his repairing the Lord's house. He came on the scene at a time when the Lord's house was in the need of repairs. The Bible says in verse 8, 2 Chronicles 34, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder. Why were these men sent? To repair the house of the Lord his God. You can also read about that in 2 Kings 22, verses 3 through 7. He sent Shaphan the scribe to the house of the Lord, to Hilkiah the high priest, to take the sum of all the silver, to have it delivered into the hands of the doers of the work. And that's an interesting expression, isn't it? The doers of the work. I wonder, had I been living back at that time, would I have been among that number? Why into the hands of the doers of the work? That the house might be repaired. And also observe from verse 7 of 2 Kings 22 that there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt how? Faithfully. It's always been imperative that those who handle the Lord's money be faithful. It's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. They dealt faithfully. Would you have been concerned about the temple, the Lord's house, the meeting place of the Lord's people, to see that it was repaired and that those who did the work had what they needed? But in addition to that, I suggest to you that Josiah, in his goodness, also involved him rending his clothes and weeping. You know what caused him to do that? When he heard the law book read. In 2 Kings 22 and in verse 8, Hilkiah had been sent to take the sum of the silver. He found something more valuable than silver and gold in the Lord's house. You know what it was? The book of the law. He said, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. That would imply it had been lost, wouldn't it? Can you imagine the Lord's people losing the Lord's book? And they found it. Guess where? In the Lord's house. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, the scribe, and he read it. He brings it to King Josiah and reads it in his hearing. And in verse 11, it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, what did he do? He rent his clothes. He was upset. He was moved or touched through the reading of the Lord's law, because he recognized that they had not been keeping it. He said in verse 13, our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Upon hearing the reading of the law book, he sent men to inquire of the Lord. You read about that through the end of this chapter. They brought back message to the king, and he was informed that the Lord's wrath was going to be kindled against that place and would not be quenched. That is, there's not going to be any remedy. It's kind of like an unquenchable fire. No putting out the flame. But Josiah was going to be spared from seeing it. His eyes wouldn't see all that evil. You know why? The Lord said in verse 19, because thine heart was what? Tender. And thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also heard thee, saith the Lord, behold, therefore I'll gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I'll bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. If you had been Josiah, if I'd been Josiah, would we have reacted toward the reading of the law book as he did? Would we have been so moved by the message of the Lord's law that we would have rent our clothes and wept? You know, the Lord knows how we react to His law. Sometimes there are those who are wroth, like Uzziah and Naaman, and turn and go away in a rage. But this man had a tender heart. His disposition was humble. And he wept. And because of that, he was spared seeing all the evil. In addition to that, Josiah's goodness from chapter 23 of 2 Kings included his reading the law book in the ears of all the people. An impressive scene that I would like to have been a part of is when the Lord's people in Old Testament times were all gathered together and all the law was read. That happened on a number of occasions. You're back in the book of Deuteronomy when the Lord talked about the king that would be anticipated during the time after the judges. Deuteronomy 28. Talked about the manner of the king, how he'd have a copy of the law. He used to read it. It'd be read before the Lord's people. There are several settings where you find the Lord's people assembled and the law book read. Moses read it. Joshua read it. Here Josiah's reading it. We're going to see where Ezra's going to read it in the book of Nehemiah and others. But notice the Bible says in 2 Kings 23 and 2, the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. The scriptures must be read. In Ephesians 3 and 4, Paul said, when you read, you may understand. How can I expect to understand God's word, what God expects of me, if I don't read? You remember those in Berea, Acts 17 and 11? They searched the scriptures daily. And Paul told Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading. John said in Revelation 1 and in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth. We need to open the book and read it. But also, the Bible indicates that he made a covenant. Did you notice Josiah's covenant? In 2 Kings 23 and verse 3, the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. What was that covenant? The basic meaning of the word covenant is an agreement. He entered into an agreement with the Lord's people to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. How? With all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. Can you think of a better agreement or contract or covenant that you could make than to enter into an agreement that whatever the Lord says, what we're going to do? That's a good covenant, isn't it? And that ought to be my attitude. We ought to all be in agreement with that. That it's our disposition, it's our mindset, that whatever the Lord said, we're going to do it. And we're going to do it with all that we have, with all of our heart, with all of our soul. And notice, the Bible says all the people stood to the covenant. And so he sought after God while he was young, repaired the Lord's house, rent his clothes, and wept when he heard the law book read. And he read the book in the ears of all the people and made a covenant before the Lord. That's not all he did. As you think about Josiah and his goodness, he destroyed idolatry. The Lord's people had allowed idolatry to creep in among them. The Lord very plainly said in the giving of the Ten Commandments, as recorded in Exodus 23 through 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They should have learned when they broke the covenant in Exodus 32. Before Moses had come down from the mount, they said, as for this Moses, we wot not what has become of him. So they took off their earrings and gave them to Aaron, and a golden calf was fashioned. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They're worshiping a golden calf. The Lord, anger was hot against them. Moses was infuriated. He threw down the tablets of stone, and they're broken. It represented the fact that the Lord's people had broken the Lord's testimony. And the Lord was going to destroy them all. Moses interceded. Moses said, blot me out of your book. Remember that? Exodus 32. And they're made to drink the powder of the golden calf. They should have learned early on that God did not tolerate idolatry among his people. But yet they allowed it to come in. That was brought about undoubtedly through the influence of their mixed marriages as they intermarried with the people of the land. They went a-whoring after their gods. And Josiah recognizes through the reading of the law that changes need to be made. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 23 and in verse 5 that he put down the idolatrous priest. Verse 6, brought out the grove from the house of the Lord. Can you imagine the Lord's people bringing a grove association with idolatrous worship into the house of the Lord? The temple that was called by the Lord's name. And remember, God said, I'm a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He break down the houses of the Sodomites. Verse 7. Brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah. Defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. In verse 8. And as you read down through verse 20. And read of idolatry being destroyed. One of the things he did was to offer the priest on the altar. Remember, that was in fulfillment of the words that were spoken way back in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 13 and in verse 2, about 300 years before Josiah was even born. It was prophesied concerning the altar. O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee, that is upon this altar, shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. That's 1 Kings 13:2. Now, think about the significance of that. 300 years before man is even born, he's called by name, and it's declared what he's going to do. Upon that altar, he's going to offer the priest. Men's bones are going to be burned. And he did that. That kind of reminds us of the fact that the book that we have in our hands today is in a category all by itself. The only way that could happen is that holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. The Scripture is of no private interpretation. That is, it did not originate with man. It didn't come by the will of man. It's of God. As Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God knows the end from the beginning. And he can speak of that which shall be as if it's already been. Don't overlook the fulfillment of prophecy in connection with Josiah. And remember, that's one of the greatest evidences that the Bible is of God and not of man. And it's in connection with his destroying idolatry during his good reign over Judah. But also in the book of 2 Kings, notice in chapter 23 that Hezekiah's goodness involved the keeping of the Passover. In verse 21 it is written, the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. Period? No. He said, as it is written in the book of this covenant. It's impressive that he said, keep the Passover. But it's also impressive that he said, keep it as it is written. You know, sometimes there are those who want to try to hold on to some things, but they want to make some changes to it too. You ought to underscore, as it is written. We're going to observe that phrase several times in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. As the children out of captivity were committed to doing things as written. You know, some brethren have gotten away from doing as it is written. They've lost sight of the importance of adhering to the pattern, like we talked about this morning, in connection with David's preparations for the temple. But they kept it as is written. And notice how that was described in verse 22. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Remember, the Passover was instituted in Exodus 12. It was the Lord's provision for the protection of his people from that 10th plague brought upon the Egyptians. when the Lord's people would kill the Passover lamb, apply the blood to the lintel and the side post, the upper post and the two side posts, and hide behind the blood, stay in the house. The Lord would see the blood and pass over. And thus the firstborn in that house would not be destroyed. And it was to be observed forever throughout their generations. It was a covenant between God and His people, the nation of Israel. It was one of the three annual feasts that required all to assemble in Jerusalem. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. And Josiah said, keep it as when I think about goodness, I thought about the fact that he had good influence. A man like this is a man of good influence, isn't he? Notice this statement made about him in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 33. Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. Now listen to this statement. In all his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their father. That's quite a statement. Reminds you of Joshua, doesn't it? And his influence. But all his days, all the days of Josiah, the people served the Lord, the God of their father. Influence is something all of us have, good or bad. May the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13-16. The Corinthians and said, ye are our epistle. We're a letter, known and read of all men. How's our influence? Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Don't let folks look down upon you because you're young. Sometimes there are those who are older who sometimes will look down upon a person because of their age. You bear responsibility as a younger person, as do I. And the way we prevent that is by conducting ourselves as we should, being an example of the believers. And he gave several good areas in which we need to be examples. Our word, it's our speech, what we say. In conversation, it's your manner of life. Your spirit, that's your attitude, your disposition. Charity, in love. Conduct yourself in such a way that when others look at you, they can say, there's a believer. That's what it means to be a Christian. There's a good example of what a believer is. And then they'll be able to look down upon you. And it'll be said of you, or could be said, your name and his goodness, or her goodness. And 2 Kings 23:25 says, because of Josiah and his goodness, like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. He was unlike any other. Quite an individual. And I'm thankful that the Lord has seen fit to catalog some things about him in his sacred word for our benefit. Paul said these things are written for our learning. Romans 15 and verse 4. We need to be Josiahs of our own generation. Seek God while you're yet young. Recognize the value of the Lord's house. Then the temple in Jerusalem. Today, the church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3:15. Have a good disposition when you hear this book read. Don't become so hard-hearted that you don't weep, that you're not moved and touched when it's read. See the value of the law book being read before all people. Let's enter into an agreement that we're going to keep the Lord's will. Do what He says. Thing that would separate us from God, that would be an object of our devotion and affection other than Him. We need to get rid of it. Covetousness is idolatry, Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 5. Christ is our Passover. He sacrificed for us. And we remember his death upon the first day of the week, don't we? With the bread and the cup. And we need to keep that as it is. Let's be a people that influence. Not yet obeyed the gospel, and everything's been made ready that you might do that this day. Why put it off tomorrow? Tomorrow may not come. Today is the only day we really have. Day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. You've heard the word. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe it? Are you willing to obey it? To repent of your sins? To confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And to be baptized? We're happy to baptize you. You can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that all your sins, everything in the past you've done that's wrong, has all been forgiven. It's all washed away. You start life on a clean slate. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've departed. You've left the Lord's covenant. You want to come back and straighten all that up through repentance and prayer, and we're here to pray for you. As together we stand and sing, we invite you.